The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on August 2nd, 2026. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all today. This morning, I want to quote Zen Master Yuan Wu. He said, if you want full realization of Zen, first of all, don't seek it. If you want full realization of Zen, first of all, don't seek it. Why? Any takers on that? Anybody out there in Zoom land?
Into a construction. You seek it because of,
well,
formation or construction.
Yes, excellent. Excellent. In fact, that's what Yuan Wu goes on to say, well, in different words here. He said, what is attained by seeking has already fallen into intellection, has already fallen into thought. We're constructing something there. But what's the problem with that?
So now you have to defend the construction.
Yeah, that's one of them. And yeah, David.
It never hits the mark.
Never hits the mark, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that would hit the mark? What is the mark? Is there a mark? Yes.
What I meant was, it never encompasses all of reality. Whatever we think cannot encompass reality.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, that's right. If we put it into the form of a thing, you know, something with a mark, something constructed in our minds, you know, something, what, we just manufacture something, we just make up? So he says, if you want to have a full realization of Zen, he said, then first of all, don't seek it. Don't seek even this realization. If we want to have a full realization of reality, of what is taking place here, you know, do not seek after it. Well, he says, what is attained by seeking has already fallen into intellection. So no matter what you put there, is to fall into intellection. And as David says, this isn't encompassing everything. Or can't we encompass everything through our minds, through the intellect, through our conceptualizing, through getting ideas, through pulling things together? Well, it would seem not. Even if we look at things in totality, like the universe, say. And right now, we talk as if the universe is expanding. And of course, scientists, if it is expanding, then wouldn't say that it's expanding into anything. It's just expanding. And if it just continues to expand, well, then it looks like everything will get so far apart, and eventually everything will wink out, and there'll just be black holes here and there, and then according to Stephen Hawking, Hawking radiation, they'll just radiate all this energy into empty space, and eventually we have what astronomers would call the heat death of the universe, which would seem to be the opposite of what we started with, was a big bang where everything was all at a single point and extremely hot. What about this? Does this cover it? they also realize that this heat death and also this Big Bang are in many ways very much the same. Can't even really draw a distinction between these two. So what is going on here? And everything within this experience of, well, this here-now reality, everything within it, there's nothing here that we can grasp or get hold of. That's what Zen reminds us of, brings us back to that. There's nothing really to get hold of here. And we're reminded of that over and over again. Because whatever it is that we get hold of, well, it seems to exhibit things like this, that it was born, it was an idea, it comes into existence, it changes maybe, and then where does it go? I mean, so it's not just the whole thing, the whole universe seems to have been born if we're in it and all things are expanding, whatever's going on here. And yet it seems like it came from this very hot, dense place and it's going on. But everything else is like this too. Seems like it appears here from whatever it is, a thought, a feeling. Seems it wasn't a thought or feeling you had a moment ago or 10 years ago. And it changes and it's gone. And was it that thought or that feeling? What exactly is any of this? So what Yang Wu is then saying, he says, if you want to have a full realization of Zen, a full realization of reality, of what is actually taking place here, don't seek even that. If you've turned this into something to seek, I want full realization, well, you created all kinds of things there, including me or I. And I want, and you know, there's desire there and full realization. But we do this with everything, and what can you do if we don't do something like that? Because this Zen practice is just sit down. Just sit. We have that expression, just sit. But what exactly does that mean? We're going to want to put something there. Like, well, why should I do that? And maybe if I just sit, then are you saying that I can have a full realization then and just from just sitting? Well, if you're looking for a full realization, you're looking for something, you want something to grasp there, something to take hold, something to possess, something to have. And of course, now you are there. You know. What is that though? Me, I. And we look at this right now. Scientists, psychologists, philosophers—you know—they're all looking at this matter of the self and I. And you know, just what exactly is that? Trying to get a grip on it. What is it? Not realizing that, well, okay, if momentarily you do get a grip on something, well, this seems to answer a lot of questions here. And it must be like this or it must be like that. But sooner or later, that'll fall apart in all sorts of ways. The things that we're trying to do to our world now to make it what, a better place for us? Seems like haven't we been progressing for centuries, millennia? How long? And aren't things getting better? Well, I don't know. Are they getting better? Yeah. Just Zen practices, just sit down. You're going to try to answer these questions? Okay. And locally, in some area, maybe where your job is or, you know, whatever work you might do or whatever, yeah, you can take, yeah, there's different things there. You can take care of these things, certainly. We need to do stuff like this. But overall, or deep into our gazing into just what is happening here, what is taking place. We'll probably approach it in the same way, that there's something there for me to get, something for me to grasp, to take hold of, to get ideas about. I won't know it unless I have an idea of a concept of it, whatever it might happen to be. And this is, you know, where we are. We think we can't really understand, that the understanding will be in the concept, in the idea, in the constructed view. And we live with this all the time. And we construct various views as we go through life and as our culture and society, whatever, moves and changes, and different ideas sweep in, and we build on these or those or whatever. And then there's some who are very greedy and gain power and whatever, can manipulate an awful lot of stuff, never with a full understanding of just this, or realization of Zen, we could say. So constantly we trip ourselves up and perpetuate all of this. We're not really taking care of even this planet that we have here. We're doing things that, momentarily for a few here and there with power to manipulate quite a bit of stuff for the time being, but overall, where are we headed? In many ways, it doesn't look that good. But we don't understand, ultimately, we don't understand any of this. You know, what is this all about? How did we get here? Where are we going? Because we try to get a grasp or a graspable view of it. But if we want a full, direct realization, here he says of Zen. Zen literally means just sitting, but which is pretty good. Or as my teacher would say, just sit down. But if you give me the right answer, at least an answer I can live with, or even something if I can kind of ponder it a bit. But any pondering that's going on is just with stuff that you've been grasping, and now you're comparing different things, and is this what you mean then, or is it that? And here we go. Just sit means just sit down. Look at this. Doesn't mean ignore this, whatever questions or things going on in your mind or in the world or whatever. Doesn't mean to tune it out or anything like that. But we chase after and we grab that and try to figure it out. And we develop all kinds of things to worry about or to be afraid of. And I look at it seems like the whole thing, unless we grasp some particular view of a savior or this or that or whatever, it all looks rather mysterious and meaningless, perhaps. You might as well just enjoy the moment and get what you can, you know, and that kind of stuff. But if you want a full realization, and there are people who would testify to this, reach a full understanding, full realization, you know, a full understanding of Zen, or how does he put it here? Yeah, a full realization, yeah, of Zen, you put it that way. This is just where we start breaking apart. Well, what do you mean, realization? What do you mean? Every word will become problematic. And if you keep hanging on to the various words, trying to figure out, what do you mean by that word then here? And this book I'm working on now, it's really about all of this words. but I have to write it out in words. And this is a real challenge for me right now, how to write this book that I'm working on. But it seems like, well, here's where we are. Yeah. You come and listen. You know, you hear me speak, right now, and I'm using words. Yeah. Maybe with words we can point, as Yang Wu here, he says, what is attained by seeking? You know, this is just involves intellection. It just involves just creating more stuff. This is about something else, this practice, this way. And it is just sitting down. Doesn't mean sitting down in a chair or on the floor or whatever. Though it could mean that, and we grant meaning to things. But it's just stop. Ways of directing, pointing directly to this, like just in this line I just read now with Wang Po or Yan Wu, it comes like that in all sorts of ways, but also in just a quote I like of Suzuki Roshi, I've used it often enough, where he said, people come to listen to him speak, and then he said, just listen. If you're here to listen, just listen. And when my talk is over, your listening is over. And he says, there's no need to remember what I said. Because whatever he said, well, just putting out ideas there and things and words, yeah. And then we might grasp them. But if it's about grasping them, well, then you should remember and take them home with you. And that's what we'll do, and that's what we think we need to do all the time with everything. Well, you need to do that maybe to do your job or various kinds of things. Yeah, but when it comes to this matter of really waking up, the full understanding, realization of this, that doesn't work. We need to see just that. How do you do it? But just, well, we could say just sit down, but it might mean just stand up, just go for a walk in the woods or by the lake, whatever. Just that. Well, I can't just do that. Go to work. You need to do, do these things. You hear something and then you start to work on that way too much, probably. Well, it depends. Things you discard too. I mean, we all do this. I do too. I have to catch myself before I getting caught up in one thing or another that I passed or caught my attention recently or an hour ago or whatever. Just watch it. It's not that these things are bad or wrong or evil or anything like that at all. Those are ideas that we'll make up things about that and put weights on them. This is good, and we'll do that. But just notice that. Wordlessly, just notice it. It might sound like I'm saying, well, that's a bad thing to do, but I'm not, in my mind, I'm not looking at it that way at all. And I don't want to convey that idea to you, that don't do that, that's bad. This is just look. Just see. You can get very quiet. Yeah, and things will come up. They come up. You don't need to follow them or chase them or whatever. Well, maybe you do because you got to take care of that this afternoon. You got to pay that bill or whatever it could be. That sort of stuff is endless. But otherwise, just sit. Just, I don't really want to say just be, because being implies then persisting, as if, this is about, continuing on from moment to moment. Is there anything like that, including you or the universe, or is there anything like that? And it can kind of look that way, and we'll construct it that way, but just look at all of that. What is just this? If you seek for something, you got an idea, that's the thing to go for over there. Or I think Steve is pointing that he wants me to go over here. But I don't want you to go anywhere, really. or even really to stay. I do want to help you wake up. That's usually, I mean, that's mainly what my life has been for the last 50 years. But that's it. There's nothing particular to do there. Plenty of mistakes can be made, and I've certainly made plenty. That wasn't very helpful for people. But, okay. But apart from those kinds of things, practical things maybe that we have to do to take care of our family, our life, or you know, the dog, or you know, whatever, the car. Yeah, all of that. But the backdrop doesn't have to be something mysterious, because it really isn't, or something frightening. You know, these are things we construct in our minds. And we feel like, well, if I don't have answers to these things, especially these deep ones, I mean, that's kind of scary. You know, where do I go after I die? And, you know, without ever questioning the question, well, do you die? Well, it kind of looks like it. You know, people just like you have died, and yeah. But then, well, you know, but now we can speculate. Well, do they go somewhere? Is that it? Or, you know, and it's endless. Whatever we do, if you keep doing that, apart from taking care of the, you know, the nuts and bolts of daily life, if you go this way trying to resolve the whole thing, have it all worked out, like somehow now you can have some grand idea, some grand vision. That is a constructed view. Recognize that for what it is. Are you hanging on to that? Are you seeking with that? That's what this way, this is Zen. To have a full realization of Zen is to just notice this. And there's nothing to grasp about this. You can be grasping now and conceptualizing what I'm saying and putting it into a form of some sort. You know, this is the intellection aspect of it. We intellectualize it, conceptualize it. And that's what we tend to do. But this is just, doesn't mean stop that or whatever. We need our concepts and ideas anyway, just to get along in daily life. You know, so there's nothing wrong or bad necessarily about those things. But then we can start to notice, well, some of these things are very disruptive to society and the world and bring a lot of pain and misery into the world. Other things might be more healing and helpful. We can start to notice that. And it's better maybe, well, you know, I'm putting values in here, but just to let it settle out. But the understanding will come with that. The full realization of Zen will come with that. But you're not trying to bring about particular ends. Even, I'm like I could say, well, I've spent my life trying to help people wake up. Yeah. Somebody once asked my teacher, Katagiri Roshi, you know, how many people have you helped? And Katagiri Roshi said, it's none of my business. Yeah, I was glad to hear that kind of a pointing later in life. Yeah. Have I really helped anyone? I don't know. I'd like to help people wake up, yeah. Am I succeeding at it? I don't know. I mean, how do I even weigh that? And what it is I'm trying to, what the awakening is don't keep weighing out stuff like that. You can see what kind of leads toward clarity of mind and settledness of mind and what doesn't. Okay, is one better than the other? No, but there they are. It's just, the nature of this is, we can see that, if you don't grasp it. And that's what this practice then is. And that's what, you know, just sitting, we say that's zazen, we say literally it's sitting meditation, zazen. Za is sitting and zen meditation. But zazen is, yeah, this is just sitting. And that's all. No need to remember what was said. You know, no need to hold this construction or that. Just give yourself a chance once in a while. Just bring yourself back to this. And then just sit down. I'm not trying to imply this is better, or, you know, better than what, you know. As soon as we say something, as soon as Yan Wu here says, you know, immediately, how does he put it here? Yeah, what's attained by seeking has already, you know, fallen into intellection, into this constructed world. And we don't need to do that with everything. The daily life thing, yeah, do that and be careful. Some things are injurious, some not. Okay, be careful of all of that. But what this practice is just stop that for a moment if you can, you know. And of course, things will start up. You're sitting there in meditation, and pretty soon stuff starts coming up again. Notice that. Don't scold yourself. It's very common. I've been doing this for over 60 years, and it still happens. You know, not like it used to, but perhaps, but stuff will bubble up. No need to be alarmed or scold yourself for it. And just sit. So that's what this practice is here. It says, if you want full realization of Zen, first of all, don't seek it. Don't take now that and turn that into a thing that you're going to try to go after. You're creating yourself. You're creating desire. You're creating it all. That's not what this is. Get a sense of what this practice is and realize that there's literally nothing to do except pay attention. And it's not a matter of paying attention to what, it's forming something now. Just, this isn't nothing. Just pay attention. You know, don't make it into something. It's not something unless we make it into something, but then, of course, that's not really something either, but it looks like it. And, you know, there we go again. Now we're going to be caught. But the realization will be in just sitting. It is not, and by that I hope you understand, no, I don't mean literally sitting down. It doesn't matter where or what to describe it anyway. Just come back to this. And pretty soon we're gone. But when you can catch yourself, just see if maybe not for a moment. Just sit down. I'll just use the term sit down. But that's this practice. It's not easy to do necessarily. On the other hand, there's nothing hard about it. But it is difficult to finally realize what this practice actually is, what we're up to here with this. And eventually practice it well enough, we can begin to make it how we're living. Living out of a mind with this kind of understanding, which is not an understanding of something. It is just pure awareness, not awareness of something. If I were writing out that awareness, I would give it a capital A, as opposed to I'm aware of that Zafu over there. I just, okay, that's a thing. And yeah, there's that kind of awareness. But after all of that goes quiet, there's this awareness, just awareness. That's the awareness the Buddha, when he was asked to sum up his teaching in a single word, and he said awareness. He was just speaking of, I think, it seems to me, what else would he be? Just awareness. Which is already happening. It's in spite of anything we do, that awareness is right here, right now. And anything that you're constructing out of this, but that's being constructed out of just this, this awareness, which isn't anything particular. So that's the nature of this reality. Well, it's of that sort. But of course, I'm using words. That's the trouble with words. This is what I'm struggling with now in this book. You have to use words. If I'm writing a book, I have to write them down. This is even worse than speaking them. So, anyway, do you have any questions or comments or yes?
A couple weeks ago, I was listening to an interview with Chakrabarti, and she's talking about, she's interviewing an illusionist, a magician, okay? And he's talking about magic, blah, blah, blah. So here's my point, and it plays into this, and that is, if you think about data coming into the brain as bits, okay, I think I have this correct. So we receive 400 million bits either per second or minute. It doesn't matter if you're in the city. But the human brain can only process like 20, which is 5%. So if I'm having a conversation with you,
it's a lot less than 5%, but go ahead.
So, and that's the, kind of the top, because I looked at other places, said even less. So I'm talking to you, and I'm trying to understand. So I, given that I only could process 5%, and I respond, I'm responding with formations or constructions. Mm-hmm. So this is my point. It's like this goes into the unaware part of your brain and how we create. So to your point about not saying anything, I don't want to comment.
Well, you're talking about there and processing this and that and the next thing. Taking it into the brain and all that. That's following the line of thought that consciousness is something produced by a brain. Consciousness is something produced by matter. People who are materialists, you know, and most physicists are, though some are beginning to question all of this. But for them, the basis of reality is the physical stuff. And that's where all of this kind of thinking and all of that comes from. There's all sorts of things that are that fall apart with this way of looking at the universe or the world or ourselves. I can't possibly get into very many of them here, or I don't know if I should get into any, but one just flashed in my mind a second ago that I thought I could speak on, but that's rarely mentioned. But anyway, that whole way of looking at the world, that's mental construction once again. You know, it's just, you know, creating something that's this intellectualization. We're already falling into that. We're turning all of these things into something. And then we're going to try to figure out reality as if it were a combination of all of these things. And if we just get the right, maybe we can't have the detail of it. Yeah, well, no, you can't. but maybe we can kind of see how the whole thing, you know, works or something. And this or that will go nowhere because it'll still remain just a constructed thing.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you think, and I think, that when you're listening, you understand, and you're not really picking up everything.
Yeah, but we're just conceptualizing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the awakening to realization, or to reality, is not getting the right concept. You know, it's something I've already mentioned in my talk now today. It's not figuring something out here and getting the right idea. This is what we think learning is, and that somehow, if I'm going to learn this about the nature of reality or Zen or whatever, it'll be just more like that. We do that because this is, unless we wake up, this is how everything appears to be, and this is how we get ahead in life. The more things like this I can learn, or learn properly, or and then maybe use them properly and all of that, the better off I'll be, and all that sort of thing. Oh, and then what I would like, though, is to really get an understanding of the whole thing. And It doesn't come about in the same way at all. It's a totally different thing. What we're speaking of here now, or what I'm alluding to here now, the two truths. And this is a teaching in Buddhism, we find it in Nagarjuna, that really gets skipped over historically, because very few people really understand the two truths. I've talked with modern day scholars today, I mean, people I've met with and talked with and even gotten to know a little bit in some cases, and discussed this very thing and about the two truths. And for the most part, most of them don't even know where to go with this. And some people would like to just drop it. But you would only do that if you really don't understand what Nagarjuna is pointing to here with these two truths. But all of that, this is just one truth, and that's where that's small. I'd give it a small t truth. I don't think Nagarjuna bothered with that or not. And that's where everything, that's where all the stuff is, and what we figure out and what we fight about and what we go after and chase from, or what we fear, what we're confused about, that's all going on in that realm here. But there's this other truth, which is, it's also in that very same place, but it's also in a very pure form, we could say, or it's not in any form whatsoever, but that's what's missing. And there's no way you're going to work your way toward that from, if you're locked inside this container of all of this kind of thinking and the container of stuff that appears to be coming. It only appears to be coming and going. There's another aspect to all of this, and that cannot be grasped. That will never form as an idea, a concept, but it can be seen. We can wake up to it, and that's what this practice is about, is where we can wake up to that. This other aspect. It isn't hiding from us. So it's ultimately, this is what it is. And it does look very much like the description I came to about the cosmos at the beginning here. We're talking about the Big Bang, which looks like all the stuff just erupting out of that. And yet there's this other thing, very quiet and still, and it's like evaporating into what's called the heat death of the universe. And that kind of imagery is pointing towards something very much like the two truths.
Well, so. It's all my relationship to know that I only hear 5% of what has been told me.
Yeah.
So maybe I should just shut up.
Well, that's the case, for all of us. So, I don't. There's within this realm of where everything is churning and bubbling and changing, and we're fighting and squabbling about this and that. And whatever. There's a lot of wonderful things in there, great art and music and all sorts of things, and just beauty of the planet. Particularly if we could just leave it alone, or just the cosmos itself. I mean, all of this. There's much there, so it isn't like a bad thing or whatever. But we don't understand its nature, and not only that, we think that's the whole bag. No, it's not. And were we to wake up to that, it would really change a lot. Yeah, Anne, do you have a question?
It was about the Wallace Stevens poem that I ran into yesterday, totally by accident. And I don't remember it very well at all, but it was about a bird, listening to a bird. And he begins the poem with, I don't know which I prefer, and ends the poem with, the song of the bird or the silence afterwards.
Yeah, it's not a matter of preferring either, So yeah, we don't know stuff like that. But we can easily lose ourselves trying to figure that out. Wallace Stevens, I think, is just can settle with that right there. Yeah. With the two truths too, it isn't like one is better than the other. It's not even like with the heat death of the universe and the Big Bang. They don't even really seem to be different. And they look at them, there's all kinds of aspects about them that they can define that are really the same thing. What's left over that's not the same? Apart from just that general appearance, you can't really find anything. The two truths are like this, and the sound of the bird is Wallace Stevens is, in his reaction to it and all of that, the same sort of thing. We don't have to grasp this or that. or well, because of this and we can't have that. No, there they are. They seem to be completely opposite or different, and yet at the same time, can't really say what that difference is. My teacher, Katagiri, yeah, he used to say that, I've lost the image he was using, but he said, yeah, there's this huge difference between what was he speaking of? I shouldn't have brought it up. But it's the same sort of thing, and then he said, yeah, there's this huge difference, but I can't say what it is. But it's like the most obvious thing, and yet at the same time, I can't even speak of it. Of course, as soon as we speak, now we've fallen into intellection, now we've fallen into division, now we've fallen into different things that can contend with other things. But that other quiet world of totality doesn't disappear. It's still here. But if we have no inkling of it, we're going to be tossing about endlessly with this, not realizing this utter rest. What can I say? Every time we try to say something, we've already started breaking it up. So we can't even really speak of it. But we can see it. We can know it. We can, It was obvious to me that my teacher, when I first met him, I realized there was something different about this guy. And with different things like that I heard him say over the years, he saw this. And he was the guy I wanted to learn from. So, anyway. Is that okay? Yes?
Yeah, we have a question from Ken online.
Yeah. Ken?
Hi, Steve. Yeah, hi. Right. I think at one point in your talk, you said that you didn't want to use the phrase just be. I wonder if you could say a little bit more about the differences.
The phrase what? Just?
Just be.
Just think?
Be.
Just be.
Oh,
be.
Just be. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wonder if you could say a little more about the difference between just being and just sitting.
Yeah, well, I don't think there is a difference. And if I recall, I don't remember now, I do remember using the term now, but I think at the moment, it was just sort of like whenever we want to talk about the two truths, we speak of the truth that I would give a capital T to, but whatever we say in attempting to point to it or something like that is not quite right. And so I think I was using, in my mind, I was using that term B because I was just trying to reach for something. I'm picturing it with a capital B, which I don't think I mentioned, but as I spoke, I was seeing it that way. But there's really nothing to say. And the same thing, too, with just sit. In the end, nothing to say. These are just pointing words. They're not meant to be grasped. They're pointing to something that we can't even really touch, though we can see. We're using two different senses here now, but I'm not using them as senses at this point. We have full awakened awareness of what there is to be fully awakened to. This is not something removed from us in any way whatsoever. It is available to all of us all the time. It's just a matter of we have to wake up to how it is that we distract ourselves by the grasping and the thinking and the manipulating and the all of that stuff. And we might say, I'm not doing that. Yeah, well, no. But you can't get hold of the I who is doing it or not doing it, or you can't get hold of any of this stuff. But that's what needs to be. And it's right here in the middle of, I don't want to speak of my experience with this. I mean, where I woke up to it, because I can't do it, really, ultimately. But it is a matter of seeing the ordinary world in its ordinary way and also realizing at the same time it can't possibly be that at all. And this is just as true and real as here it is. But that other side, the here it is part, we say all kinds of things about it, and of course there is just a bunch of stuff that we think is real. But that other thing, it's like utter silence, you know. So nothing really to say. But once in a while, I might end up using a term like, say, B, and I should have at least pointed out, well, I see it capitalized. But of course, for a lot of people, you know, when I capitalize things or underline them, you know, italicize them, that sort of thing, they think, oh, you're just being obscure in it. Well, I don't mean to be. I'm trying to be clearer in the language, because the language, we can use it to point, but the language can't actually. But we're pointing into something that just looks like empty space, I guess. But it's but there's really something here for us to realize and to notice, and we can, and we actually live out of it. So it isn't something really foreign, but it is so quiet that we go through life kind of oblivious to it. So what I meant by that B is nothing really that we can grasp. We're just seeing, you know. There are really two attempts at pointing to, what can I say, the same thing, but that doesn't apply either. Same thing. It's not a thing. It's not. There's no sameness. It's just like there's no separation. How could there be sameness? But there's nothing we can say about that. But we can wake up to realizing that the world that we commonly see and think is so real, the world of this and that, and here I am sitting here talking, and there's a floor under my feet, all of that, can't possibly, none of this could possibly be taking place if it actually was that way, if there actually was a floor here, if there was actually a me sitting here and actually speaking. If this was the way things are, nothing would be happening. You can see that if you keep looking at it. Don't think about it. Don't explain anything. Just keep looking at that. And there's this other thing there, too, that will, at some point you might notice is part of this picture. And I've described it earlier as like the heat death of the universe, but also, there's also the Big Bang. These are not really two. And it's interesting for me now that scientists have kind of gotten to a point where they're starting to notice this, that there's aspects of these two that don't seem to be two at all. Well, that's interesting, I'm finding. But everything we can say is in this noisy, busy part. But if we don't try to say anything to ourselves, if we just sit and learn to be quiet, thoughts will be coming up. A lot of them are just boring or mundane, whatever kind of thoughts, you know. But even some deeper thoughts might be coming up. Don't pursue them. That won't help you. You need to just see the utter quiet, for lack of a better, of course, now utter and quiet. Words don't apply, but I'm pointing. But pointing also is, it isn't over there or up. It's the whole thing. And it also doesn't have any dimension. There's no size to it. You know, it's not big or small or north or south, or then or now, yeah. But this we can awaken to just this nature. This nature is part of this busy world that we think is so real, couldn't even be manifesting if this other aspect isn't right there. And they seem to be two, and yet they're not two. I think that's what Kadagiri was talking about. It's just this, you know, that, there's this huge difference. But he said, but I can't say what it is. Yeah. Because difference alone but it's in itself belongs to the busy world of this and that. Not a point, but nothing to say there. And of course, this. Maybe this is enough. It starts to, I start to feel like, well, I'm just being silly here now. It's, you know, I'm trying to talk about something that we really can't speak of. I don't, do I dare if there's any, ask if there's anything else? Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.